Is this bitch on?
Episode 3.
We live.
G-R-E-G. What's happening, everybody? We're back.
All 1,000, 10,000 listeners right out of the gate. That's for episode 3. Please,
breaking records. We were up at 6 a.m. today. What were you guys doing on a Saturday?
Normally, I'm not up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday. It definitely caffeined up.
So, another action-packed show.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Another action-packed week.
Action-packed. Oh, please.
Actually, 2 weeks.
Some would say the most action. So what's up, George?
Nothing. A lot going on. I'd say my personal life is at a 9.
Hold on real quick. We got to work on this intro. We didn't intro that this was Coffee Talkie. We didn't even mention the podcast name just now.
No, we didn't.
We didn't.
Does everybody do that?
I don't know. Do they? Do they say the name of their podcast at the beginning?
No, they got, well, all the ones I listen to, they actually do. Now that I think about it, but they're pros.
Or we need to incorporate the name into the opening jingle, the opening music segment.
Yeah, we'll do something like that.
All right.
We'll have to do something like that.
Work in progress, folks. Work in progress. All right, back to George. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, so this week, if you listen to Howard Stern, you understand that. But yeah, personal and business life are both at 9s.
9.
But just this week alone, the big thing, you know, I know we talked about we was going to do the, what's the name of that coffee? The episode we're going to do with the gun
Black
coffee.
Black Rifle?
Yeah, Black Rifle.
Yeah, so that's a nice intersectional crossroads of guns and coffee in America.
If we, I think if we wait to talk about it till then, it'll be old news. But the walkout thing was huge.
High school walkout, or just school walkout in general, I guess.
Well, my son is middle school.
Right.
And they did walkouts. And
were they told you can't leave the property of the school?
No.
Now that's interesting when you start talking about middle school and under.
You're talking about 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, I don't want my kid walking the street to be honest at that age.
And it was crazy. So I should have done more research on how it got started or why it got started. I know the why, but I don't know how they.
And just for context, we're talking about a walkout, and it's basically relating to a protest about the shooting that happened at Parkland, Florida. Parkland High School.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And it was kids coming together to protest violence in schools, obviously gun violence in schools.
Yes.
And, you know, crazy people shooting.
Because who doesn't
kids.
Love a fist fight in the quad?
Well, at least fist fights, both kids are going to go home and.
Low chance of somebody. Yeah,
they're going to get.
Of a fatality.
Yeah, they're going to get mandatory 3 days off of school.
Right.
And then they come back and.
Those were the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Friday. Back in my day, we fought with D's.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's weird, and I can't stand posting anything to Facebook. So I always think about something, and then I'm like, no, I can't do that. But one thing I wanted to ask, because I saw everybody else's comments, my kid ain't walking out of school, my kid ain't doing this and that. The question I wanted to ask was, how many parents out there sat down and asked their kid, do you understand what the walkout is? Because that's what I did. My big thing, and maybe I should have done it before, but I definitely did it the day of after. And I, you know, I just, hey, you know, N3, what do you think about?
N3 is his son. We're keeping those names private, but that's his son's nickname.
So asking him, you know, what do you think this is about, you know? And he didn't walk out because I did tell him, you're there to learn, you're there to sit there and do, I don't want you messing around, going outside doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So I did tell him that. But I wanted to hear from him what I thought in my mind, but I want to hear it in his words. And he explained that there were some kids that were passionate about it, but he said all of his close friends, mm-hmm. they just wanted to go out and hang out mm-hmm. with their friends in the front area where the right. protest was going down.
Right.
And, you know, and just basically get out of class.
Right.
Not have to sit in the classroom when, you know, everybody else is supposedly walking outside.
Right.
So, and that's what I assumed was going down, but, you know, I don't want to, I think high school probably had a little more meaning to it, but
I've got some introspect for you on that. I'd love to hear my son being in high school right now.
Yeah.
So you and I went back and forth a little bit in the old Slack chat.
Yep.
On this. And if I have to take a second to be, what's the word I want to talk about? To be personal here. That's one thing I do like about our little quote click that we have in the chat, is that it's fantastic to be around people that you can get into discussions, debates, arguments with.
Right.
But you realize everybody's really just trying to offer their perspective, and then there's actually sometimes understanding to be had from it.
Sure.
Right. It's not. I feel lucky to be involved with a group of people that aren't emotionally tied and are going to be pissed off because somebody offered their point of view, or yeah. if you offer your point of view and people don't accept it, you don't get your panties in a twist and get pissed right. off, right? Like, that's one beautiful thing about my friendship with most people at this point in my life.
Yeah.
We can talk and we can disagree on shit, but we can actually still have an understanding that, you know what, I get your point. I understand from your side, or, you know, I'm not going to be mad at you because you don't side sure. with me. And that's what I 100%. Love. And I actually almost love the fact that if I do argue my point with certain friends of mine, that they don't buckle and then just sway into it just because. It's kind of a maturity yeah. thing as opposed to a peer pressure thing, I think, at this point. And so you and I talked back and forth about this, and my view was opposite. You were saying, you know, the smart thing is, and I kind of took a little offense at first. I'm like, you like said, my son said, you know, I talked to my son, he said, you know, I probably won't go do the walkout.
Yeah.
And you said, well, he's smart for that. And I was like, well, how does that make him smart? And so, you know, we had a little back and forth about that. And, you know, ultimately my feelings are a little different. I was like, you know, if it's something you believe in, I told him, I said, then I wouldn't have no problem with you walking out.
Sure.
If that's what you, if that's
I would agree
you,
with that
you believe, you believe you want to stand up for. I go, unfortunately, you guys are in a position where you go to school and you have to actually maybe think when you're walking into school, like, yo, is this going to get shot up today? That's not the, even one consideration ever. That yep. was not one thought in my mind ever when I was in high school. It was like, are we going to get shot up?
Yeah, possible fist fight? Absolutely. Yeah.
Listen.
Absolutely.
And hey, where we went to school, George?
Yeah.
Okay, again, we didn't grow up in the Cabrini Green, Compton, no. et cetera. But I knew guys who had Gats, they had guns in their car every day, if not in their backpack yeah. in school. So, but I was never worried that these guys were going to bring the, would no, take I the never. Gun out and start shooting people in school. And that's the crazy thing, was I was actually at 16, 17, 18 accepting of the fact that I knew fellow students that had guns.
Right.
But was never worried about the violence that could possibly occur from them. Now you have to worry about, I don't even know what it is, right? But anyway, so bottom line is to kind of not go too far on this, but to sum it up, my son, we talked to him after the walkout happened. And he said, most kids indeed, just like you were saying, he goes, kids are coming back with Slurpees, et cetera, you know, because they went out. He goes, staff just let them do what they wanted to do.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, because there would be a lawsuit issue if they didn't.
Sure.
Now.
You also got a truancy issue, too, if they don't come back.
This is true.
But that's.
But when you're riding the back of political movement, I think you start to cross right. into some different lines. You know what I mean?
No, I think so.
It sucks because you want kids to be aware, but at the same time, when I was 16, 17, 18, I felt like I was invincible.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of happening. I think school shootings are such the norm that this doesn't faze these kids so much now, unfortunately. And I feel like that's a problem because there's a lot of adults out there that aren't fazed by the fact that children are getting shot to death inside of, you know, closed classrooms and hallways. So it sucks, man. But, you know, what are you gonna do? I'm sure it had a lot more impact down in the Parkland area where you have a community where they lost 17 children.
Horrible.
And I feel like even though the world is so connected with the internet and I get to see what happened across the world in a 30-second time frame, if somebody posts a video on Twitter or Instagram post or Facebook post. I know what's going on wherever in the world at any given moment. But the crazy thing about that is it's almost like the oversaturation of news and media creates an even creates this thing in my body where it's like, damn, that sucks. Okay, on to the next thing.
It's become the norm.
I don't think we can operate as humans at this high level of giving a fuck about every single thing that happens.
Right.
And what sucks is when something like a high school getting shot up and 17 kids and teachers dying becomes a, damn, that sucks. Okay, on to the next thing.
Yeah.
It's real shitty that we go into kind of this societal numbness about what should be a more serious issue.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So.
No, and that's in my point with this, and I hate to sound... like maybe an older person, but I didn't think.
Oh, you old.
Oh, no. I didn't think that the kids walking out was going to change anything other than a bunch of kids walked out of school for a purpose. And I believe it was a purpose that was dreamt up by who knows what. And I hate to use the word agenda, but kids walking out isn't going to change the laws to even try to curb any of the violence going on. It's not going to make it harder for certain people to get guns. It's not going to make, you know, background checks better or more extensive. It's not going to create a database of people unless the walkout is seen by people who actually make and create laws or can change laws in the United States.
The people who...
Politicians.
Yeah, I know. The people who are... So this is where we get in heavy into politics, right?
Right.
We kind of went with a semi-political slash cultural issue now into a full-blown political issue. And I'm not
talking side or the other. I'm just saying the people that are elected to make laws are they impacted by kids walking out of school?
No.
Are they impacted? Like, I think there was a vote in Florida literally 2 weeks after the shooting.
Right.
And they still didn't change anything.
Are they impacted by kids walking out of school? Or are they impacted by campaign donations and lobbying? Right. And if you have an allegiance to one political affiliation, and we'll just say the Crips and the Bloods, right?
Sure.
The Republicans and the Democrats. It's almost in this era of you either have to be far left, far right, or get the fuck out.
Right.
No,
and I agree with that.
It's heavily unfortunate for, I would say, most of my social class, people that are my age, my career zone. I'd say most people fall pretty close to the middle.
Yeah.
If you're far, super far left or super far right, honestly, I don't want anything to do with you because you're a little far gone.
Yeah. If
you know
if
what I mean? Hard.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I think my point there is if, you know, and I keep referring to the 17, but if 17 kids getting killed doesn't bring awareness to maybe trying to create something, to fix something. Kids walking out of school aren't going to change anything.
Well, they've been saying it about Sandy Hook.
Right.
If we're okay with elementary school kids being murdered, that right there set the tone for anybody around here.
So, you know, kids walking out of school, people marching on Washington, that is, to me, that is not as impactful as real life kids getting killed. Like if that doesn't change things, that makes sense. Protesting is nothing. It's nothing compared to death.
So when did protesting stop having an effect? We look at civil rights, women's suffrage movements.
You know what? That's crazy. I don't know.
When
depends
did it
on
stop?
The issue.
Did it stop post Vietnam War?
I might have.
You know, there was a lot of youth, that whole Woodstock era movement of peace, love, anti-war. I'm trying to think of any major protests, and those were you know, fairly before my time. I was, you know, I was born in mid-70s. So that's fairly before my time in terms of me having been able to have any viewership or understanding of it and being in that climate. So I'm trying to think of, since I was born, have there been any major political or pro or anti type of protests that really have done anything? And I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about alt-right movement, the march that happened with the you know, the jackasses with the tiki torches.
Right.
I'm talking about Million Man March. I'm talking about the Women's March, Women's Day.
I think it might have died with the birth of social media.
Reaganomics. Oh.
Well, because now, now you could almost look at a protest as a digital trend. When the Women March was going on, whatever the name of it was, Women's March 2018 was like number one on Twitter trends.
True.
So
slut walk.
Right. Same thing. And I could tell you right now, you know, the kids walking out of school is content for news, but I don't think that's going to change anything as far as gun laws goes. But I will say this, the entire Me Too Time's Up movement has 100% changed the way a large percentage of men, it should.
And it should.
Because if it didn't.
I agree.
You are looking at losing your entire career over saying the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person.
Absolutely.
I can tell you, I've never been overly, you know, different at work. I think I talk differently than I do around friends.
Yeah. Oh, everybody does.
Right.
But I don't think anybody can fool you with that.
But I think in the older days, it was, you know, you can't get away with doing that anymore. You just can't. An accusation could cost you your job, your career, your everything.
Right. I think, you know, God forbid accusations land on me or anybody I know. Mm-hmm. Because I want to sit back sometimes, and I remember like when the whole Me Too and all these movements started, and I was like, there's money grabbing out there going on. I'm not going to lie. No, That's how I felt. I'm like, there's money grab for celebrity.
I'm with you. Same thing.
But as it grew, the more it grows, the more you realize this is a real freaking problem.
Well,
this is a real issue.
Yeah, I think, well, and not only that, but some, like, and I agree with a lot of the views out there, especially on the Aziz thing, where you start getting the not so serious
Me Too Buyer's and Time's remorse up. Type, they were calling it.
And that's, I think it trivializes the females out there who really, who really got messed up.
You're always
going to
have the people out there tricking the game off.
Yes.
When I say game, I just mean the movement itself.
Sure.
There's always going to be people out there that are going to, they're going to give it a black eye. I just say, you know, it kind of brought me to a moment of reflection on myself. I'm like, shit, have I ever fucked up? And have I ever like,
absolutely. Oh, I thought about it.
You can't help but I think there's two interesting points to be made here. One of them is to, I think almost every man and woman, because there's plenty of, look, if we're going to call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
I should have made a list. Right. Of all the times I've been physically, verbally, I guess what would the word be, accosted or.
Sure.
Or I don't even assault or what, I don't even know what they call it.
Yeah, I think
not assault,
all those terms.
I've been sexually assaulted too, I guess. If we're talking about
sexually misconduct.
Sexual misconduct is the word I'm looking for.
You've been
for.
Misconducted.
Right. So I honestly don't even know where we're going with this at this point. I don't even know how we got on this part. Oh, we started talking about protesting.
Right. How about protesting?
So the bottom line is, I think it's been a positive movement.
Yeah.
Overall.
I just think physical protests move to digital protests.
Yeah.
That's why.
We see that with like, what was that? Arab Spring and Syria and all these types of like a political, unrest that were going on. They were using social media to organize their protests over there, in Iran and things like that. So I think you're right. It's almost like the whole young people with Instagram. It's like, oh, you didn't do shit if you didn't post a picture of you at Coachella.
Right.
Or the snowboarding in Big Bear when it hit peak snow. Like, if you didn't post a picture and go Insta Live, then it didn't happen. And it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
you know.
No, I 100%. So yeah, no, that was a subject, at least the walkout thing, and that's what we originally started talking about. But that was a subject in my house this whole week. Oh, just because I felt it was important.
You got kids.
And you know, I know it sounds horrible, but I did buy a bulletproof backpack.
You did tell me that.
I'm not going to give any plugs or anything like that, but I mean, you know, do I think anything? I hope that shit never happens.
Right.
But if it does, and you know,
that's one level
kids,
of safety.
And your kid's running away and some wacko is spraying and praying. If that happens to hit the backpack and push his ass down, but not go through him, man.
I understand.
That's the best $200 I ever spent.
I got you.
But I just, the odds of that ever happening. But the problem is too, is the people in all of these places where it actually went down, they probably thought the same thing I'm thinking. That shit's never going to happen.
Oh, it's never going to happen. Or to play devil's advocate, bro, you could get in your car after this and go drive away and get T-boned by a semi truck and it's game over.
Sure.
Just like that bridge that collapsed at FIU down there. Right?
Still pulling people out.
It's
a couple days later.
Bro, we were talking about that. Me and Anthony were talking about that. And we're like, you know, imagine it. You just drop your kids off at school or whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're in your car. You're looking at your phone. You're changing the music. And then it's lights out.
Yeah. I mean, bridge falls on top of you.
I mean, bro, pancakes your car. It's terrible, it's unfortunate things like that. These sudden deaths, just it's a reminder. When you get older, this middle age, every day I wake up, and not to sound fatal, every day I wake up though, I'm like, damn, I maybe got another, maybe I'm like at that halfway point, but it's I'm at the halfway point.
Yeah.
In the least.
Oh yeah.
Like if I live accident free, like my health, you know, maybe 20 more years left in his body.
Dude, it's crazy.
I don't know.
And and that's the weird thing too, is it's going by faster and faster.
Yeah.
So no, that's cool. But yeah, anything else? I'm trying to think of anything else I might have done.
I returned to my acting roots this weekend. Or this week.
I did see that. I got to understand what was going on.
So I had a buddy hit me up like a week and a half ago and he was like, hey, I got to ask you a question. He text messaged me. I said, yeah. I go, give me a call if it's easier. And he just text messaged me back. He goes, hey,
That requires a phone call.
I was wondering, we need a hand model for this video shoot we're doing over at the Cosmo. And I said, does that require? I go, what?
What do you need my hands for?
I go, what are the requirements? Is it middle-aged black man? Like, what are you looking for? And he's like, he wrote ha 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 and basically put, well, he goes in a way, he goes, you fit in with the, what's the word? The quota per se, right?
Oh, diversity?
Yeah, you got to make sure, you know, you can't have just.
What are we doing? Hands across?
Can't have just milky white hands reaching
across
in.
The Cosmo?
So we go, I'm not going to say everything, but we were at this restaurant in the Cosmo and basically it was a shoot for, I think it's going to be like an on premise promo, like in room type, you know, commercial spot or something. And basically, it was truly.
Did you get a manicure?
It was grabbing food. So he told me that, like, all right, cool, you know, see you there on, you know, Tuesday or whatever. I'm like, Tuesday, that gives me like 6 days. And I'm looking down at my hands and they're a wreck.
Yeah.
I got to keep it real. I'm not putting lotion on my cuticles and all that, right? Like in the morning when I lotion down after, you know, getting ready, boom, 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 that's it. That's how much lotion hits my hands. I don't know, bro, there's lotion over by my desk right now. I don't ever have that. So I was like 5, 6, 7 times a day, George, coconut oil, olive oil, all over my cuticles. I was trimming my nails. I had the file out. I was using a, what's that called? When you exfoliation scrub on
really?
My feet. Bro, I walked up in there. Hands was just glistening. Just Michael Bay lens flare coming off these fingers, bro.
I've always, and I guess whatever you want to call it, when I was a kid, I had a bad habit of like peeling my fingernails. Well, not biting.
But like,
really
I know what you're saying, peeling with your other fingers.
I would bite an end of it and it's peel it off.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And it had to be around 6 or 7, maybe 8 years old, maybe a little later, because I know girls were a factor because I remember my mom explicitly saying, girls won't talk to you if you bite your fingernails. I think I stopped biting my fingernails right after that.
Damn.
And
the hormones was sending you a message.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what? Are you serious? Like, girls won't talk to me if I look like I bite my nails. I'm never biting them again.
Oh, man.
So, but I don't know what my chemical makeup is, but my nails grow very, very fast. Like, I cut them once a week or else I
come
look.
From the Caucasus region of Europe?
Something. And what's weird is if you look at, I'm not going to take any pictures and show you, but if you look at my nails, the way my nails grow at the tips, they look like a French manicure.
I'm sitting across the table about 4 feet away from George's hands, and they are beautiful.
See? That dude should have called me.
Those hands don't match that face.
No. I look rugged.
I don't know if you have enough diversity in that skin to be in the...
I don't. It's not pasty.
Listen, look at my hands. What color are these things?
I think it's like the same color as mine.
It looks like a latte with extra milk in it.
That's right. I'm going to say right now, I could pass for Gregor's hands.
Look, I bit the hell out of my nails all the way till about high school.
Yeah.
And nobody told me don't bite your nails. Well, my mom used to tell me all the time as a kid. She didn't drop knowledge like your mom did. But I don't know why, but I just made a conscious decision. Like, once I got into high school, like, I'm going to stop biting my nails. I really don't know why. It was just a terrible habit. And then I started to grow them. And believe it or not, when I played football, having longer nails helped me grab jerseys.
Oh, I gotcha.
It was,
gotcha.
And they, bro, my nails never broke on the field.
Yeah.
I had like these strong
Wolverine
bear nails, yeah.
Saber tooth type nails.
So, and then, you know, I worked out my entire life, and I haven't worked out like in a month and a half now. And my hands are actually starting to soften up. Terrible. I'm not used to this, bro.
Terrible.
I might need to get like a carpenter job on the side just to get my man hands back.
Well, we're going to have to, whenever this, video or photo shoot, whatever you did.
I think it's on premise.
There's going to be a link in future show notes. Say, hey, by the way, if you want to see Gregor's hands in a local TV spot, here's where you go watch it.
Or if you want to hire me.
I'm going to have to.
Just hit me on them DMs. the shoot was awesome. It was easy. And thank you to Big Jonesy, Chris Jones, and Brian and Jennifer Henry.
Wow.
They were the people that shot the video, directed it, and all that fun stuff.
When it's done, we obviously can't talk about it now because it's not out yet, right?
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's not like I don't think it's like going to air anywhere off.
It's just for local property. TVs inside
I don't
Cosmo?
Think it's airing off property. I think it's going to be in Cosmo, like in room.
I got to see it.
So, well, you got to get a room at the Cosmo.
I'm not going to get a room at the Cosmo. I'll have somebody else send me a video.
Sorry. But, yeah, that's it, man. That was my exciting week.
Yeah. Nobody called me for modeling.
I'll try to get you on the next one.
Thank you. Step my game up. Get my name out there.
I'm going to call man.
See if I get a hand shoot.
What was that place out here that used to have the billboards? Bait and Tackle?
Oh, Jesus.
They did real good during the...
Until people started figuring out exactly what was going down.
That recession hit, and people were like, I got to get a side job.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it sounds like, folks. All right. Well, what did we do? We got up at 6 this morning for what?
6, got up. I set my alarm. So this week, we hit up a local coffee shop, and not just a coffee shop, but they roast their own beans. It's called Mothership. It's in Henderson, right off of Sunset and Green Valley Parkway.
Yes, sir.
When you roll up, it does look like a shopping center from the 80s.
Yes.
I would say it's, you know, of course, at 7 o'clock in the morning, you're, you know, going to find maybe an older clientele. But I was shocked to see people walk through after we got there.
I like how we act like we're not the older clientele.
I can't do
these
that.
Days.
I can't do that.
It's kind of difficult once you cross over this midlife barrier.
I haven't crossed it over yet.
Oh, when you cross over, a couple
July.
Months? July?
This July?
This motherfucker looked 48, guys.
Oh, get it all.
Time. Anyways, he got that Kenny Rogers beard. That's why. But
no one to hold him.
Anyways, you're right. There is an older clientele there, and nobody that's 24 is getting up at 6 a.m. and driving across town to get a coffee, by the way. So we are that older clientele.
Yeah, it's hard to say that, but yeah. But no, it was good. We did, and I got to pull this name up here. Gregor got the coffee today. We got Mexico Sierra Azul.
Indeed.
Indeed. And it was, I drank the first cup black, no sugar, no creamer. And it was good. It was good. It was, I would definitely say, because I know it's, I think the description on there is it's a medium style coffee.
Yeah, I think it was medium body for sure. Yeah.
I know the minute I tasted it, I tasted fruit.
Which is interesting, right? So this is something I've been wanting to explore more is when we read these tasting notes that are in descriptions on coffees.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 100% obvious, even if you have the coffee blind.
Yeah.
What's in there. Other times I'll read the tasting notes and I'll taste the coffee and I'm like, I'm not seeing that. And it makes me think about like with wine. You know how when you get a bottle of wine,
yep,
and they're like, oh, the nose, the varietals, the florals. Yeah. And sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not. And so I think it'd be really cool in the future to do like a cupping class where they use a lot of sniffing.
Yeah.
Just like a wine. You got to smell the body and then you taste, rinse, and all those types of things. I think it'd be very cool for us to go do a cupping class and kind of see what they do to find these flavors to define.
Is there a cupping class just for coffee, or are you talking about cupping?
Coffee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of coffee shops will do like, what's the word? Workshops. They'll do like, you know, whether it's a workshop for training their own baristas they're getting hired on, or you just want to learn how to make different types of coffees. There's a lot of coffee shops that do classes and workshops like that.
Oh, we got to find those.
I think Samba Latte out here did a small workshop, but I don't see it advertised too much.
I would go to that.
But I do see a lot there. If you look at like a lot of the bigger coffee markets, and when we talk coffee culture, we're obviously talking about the Pacific Northwest. Then you talk about the Chicagos, the New Yorks, and things like that.
Yeah.
The LAs, you see a lot of, there's a lot more clientele, a lot more business. There's a lot more small business centered around that coffee culture. So they tend to host those. But anyways, I think that's what we should do one of these days to really kind of, hey, if we're going to talk about coffee, we got to have these palates precise. You know what I mean?
I smell another how-to video, kind of like what we did. And
we don't even know what we're doing.
No.
But we're going to tell you.
That's right.
We're going to learn, and we're going to share that knowledge.
I'm going to do that. That's going to be a good video. I'm interested to hear what people say about the Bulletproof video. Because now I know how to make it, and people
have to do that voiceover.
People at work, you got to lay those bars on that video.
Mic check.
But no, this the Mexican Azul coffee. Like, I think you said you tasted kind of acidic right out of the gate.
Yeah, I was getting kind of an upfront acidic punch when I was drinking it. It was definitely fruity after that little acid tang calmed down.
Yeah.
But it seemed almost like I ordered the same cup of coffee for both of us, but it seemed like both of us were tasting different things.
I did. I tasted the bag because I bought a bag to bring home and drink. But the bag says chocolate and peanuts. I don't think I tasted either one of those.
I tasted a little bit of the earthiness. I tasted a little bit of the fruit, but really the acidic punch kind of overpowered it for me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad.
No,
I thought what was interesting was how we were both tasting two different things, really. And so that's why I start to think about, you know, palates and how those can be affected. Different people are going to taste different things. But I thought the cup of coffee was fantastic.
I loved it. It was good.
I loved it. I like that shop.
I do.
For me, unfortunately for me, it's like 23 miles from my house.
Yeah.
But it's a great shop. When you walk in, it the space feels small.
Yeah.
But it's done well. It's utilized very well. They have window seating by the front door.
The light coming in is really cool.
They have that one. The what?
The light coming in looks cool.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah, it's they got, I mean, they have the windows up front again. It's in an older space, but and by older, like, you know, I mean 80s, early 90s, but
well, and even like the decor to do they don't have granite countertops and stuff. Everything's that white white tile backsplash, white tile countertops.
It's more of a modern, a modern look. Than it doesn't look like an earthy coffee shop.
No.
But at the same time,
it's got an 80s kitchen.
There's an interesting contrast to be had here. They have this beautiful white tile going on. They have this beautiful mural on the wall. The wall's white and has like a silver and gold paint. It's like a deer and some floral design.
Yep.
And then they do the contrast with like the wood floating shelves.
Yep.
And you then look at their branding and it's very earthy and organic feeling. Yeah. So I think they do a very good job. It's honestly, it's probably very similar to also how Vesta's branding is being carried out. There's a very organic undertone to it, like with the mural on the wall. Yeah. But then when you look at, like when you buy the coffee, you buy the bags, they have a very modern graphic design feel to them. So this is almost an invert where your modernity, I guess is the word I'm looking for, is kind of within the space itself in terms of the architecture, the walls, the seating, the fixtures.
Well, and it seems like it follows the same thing too, where it's minimalistic.
Right, exactly.
Every because I follow, obviously, since we started doing this, I'm following more and more coffee shops. And there's a common theme, white, bright, whites, grays. If there's blacks, it's like very, very minor. Everything's very bright, but it's also muted with grays or grayish blues.
So you know what I think a lot of that is a result of? It's kind of the anti-Starbucks. It's kind of the anti-
Yeah.
Frappuccino movement. And what I mean by that is when you walk into a Starbucks, it's like walking into a commercial.
Everywhere.
You know, you walk in, same with coffee bean too at times. You walk in there and it's just kind of like you're over inundated and there's, you know, stand up banners of a unicorn latte. And it's very commercialized. So when you go to these smaller coffee shops, the focus, even though if we want to say a common goal is to sell product, you know, some people will come in and argue that Starbucks is selling a lifestyle. And I get that. But I think what you're seeing is that the smaller coffee shops really allow the coffee itself to shine.
Yeah. Oh, you can tell that you're there for the coffee, where you said, Starbucks kind of has the detergent style where, you know, loud, you know, reds or yellows or oranges when they have the displays all over in the different spots. You know, nothing's muted. They want your eyeballs to hit a certain spot in the store where the brightest thing in Mothership is their coffee cups.
The blue accent color
in the shop is the coffee cups.
That's interesting. I didn't think about it like that, but you're right. Most of the other tones are all muted.
All of them. And then I when I saw that, I wanted the coffee cup
the minute
I saw it, and they had no extra coffee cups. So I'm hoping
a hot item.
I'm hoping after if we post a few of these pictures and videos that maybe they can set aside one for me to buy.
You better say nice things. They might charge you double, fam.
I love it. I love everything. everything was great.
How about the what else did they offer there? I mean, obviously espresso. I can't believe I'm thinking about it now. We should have tried an espresso while we were there.
Man, I would have ran back.
Oh, I'm lit right now.
Yeah.
I'm lit.
So they build themselves not just a roasters, but a bakery.
Yeah. They had a nice display up front there.
Yeah. And I got some pics that we'll post in the show notes and on the Coffee Talkie website.
Well, I think we'll have to go back, maybe explore a little more. Yeah. I tend not to eat much in the mornings at all. Sometimes nothing. Otherwise, I probably would have tried the low gluten-free quiche in there that you said was pointless.
I'm not eating
that. That's like a crustless pie, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not eating that.
Oh, you're a real man.
No, I like gluten.
Real men don't eat quiche. And if they do, it has gluten in it.
My body handles gluten very well. It processes gluten at an astronomical rate.
At an amazing rate. Efficiently.
Yep.
They had t-shirts for sale there.
Oh, I didn't see a t-shirt.
Yeah, it was hanging on the wall right by the register. Nice little Mothership design on there.
I wonder if they got it in full-size male.
I don't... Full-size?
Full-size male. I don't like to use the term double X.
That's a full?
Yeah, it's a full. It's a full-size male t-shirt.
Maybe.
But no, it's a super cool shop. I could definitely...
What about the staff?
Super nice. I thought it was funny when... And then I didn't get any names, but the woman that was serving our coffee this morning, she said that somebody came in and told her how to do her job.
She mentioned something to the effect of like, I could show you how to.
Yeah, I could show you how to do that correctly. And I could only imagine the look on her face.
Well, here's the problem, right? it's customer service. Yeah. Those types of jobs, like I already said in episode one, like, we are not baristas. We have no background in coffee making on a professional level, or we don't own any shops or sell merchandise or roast our own beans. You know,
well, this is all exploration.
But if you've ever worked a customer service job,
Dairy Queen,
you've dealt with that then.
Yes.
When I worked at a bar at a nightclub for 3 years, and people were always trying to tell me how to make a drink and how to, you know what to say. I don't walk into your
job. I'm sure that wouldn't go over well.
No.
No, but.
Listen, let these people do their job.
She did let us try.
Oh, well, so.
Nitro cold brew.
So they have, it reminds me, it's similar to like a coffee bean. And I'm not saying in quality by any means, but like if you go to Coffee Bean and you buy a bag of beans, they give you you get a free cup of coffee with it.
You got a cold brew. I got the Ethiopian.
I think it was a Sodamo you got. It is. You ended up with.
It is. And it is just as good as the Mexican Azul piece we got. Right out of the gate, it says light bodied notes of mixed berries. You taste blueberry immediately.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things about the Sodamos.
It was really good.
I'm a big fan of the blueberry flavor in coffee.
And I drank that on the way back to podcasting HQ.
Yeah, so I got the nitro cold brew. And she said, we have a regular cold brew or a cold brew with hops. And I thought I misunderstood her when she said it. I said, excuse me, with what? A cold brew with what?
Oh, I heard it.
And she said, with hops. And I was like, okay. Well, I've already had nitro cold brew, and if I have to 100% disclosure, I'm not really a fan of it. I prefer a traditional cold brew. I don't need the nitrogen infusion or whatever it is that kind of preserves the flavor, as they say. So I tried the one with hops, and I have to say I loved it. It reminded me of a kind of a stout beer, which is crazy, right? So when you cross over and you make a stout with a coffee –
I love.
And now I'm seeing we have a coffee made with hops or blended with hops for cold brew. It was like drinking, like, one of my favorite dark beers is Left Hand Milk Stout.
Yep. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. That's what it reminded me. I mean, I could imagine if I would have poured a little bit of cream in there, it would have probably tasted
like a beer.
Really similar to like a Left Hand Milk Stout.
Yeah.
But this was fantastic. And if you don't like hops, then you're not going to like it as much. It's... Being a big IPA fan, I think that's why
that's probably where we differ, because I tasted it, and it's not like you're drinking an 80%, I think it's called IBUs.
Yeah.
It's not like an 80 IBU. You don't get that bitter aftertaste that you would from a real heavy IPA.
Right. And there's no alcohol burn in it, of course. It's just a coffee.
You could taste it, but it's not for me. Like I love nitro beers. You mentioned Left Hand. Guinness is absolute fave.
You like Guinness, yeah.
Boddington's. Okay. And there's a beer here at Love Lady. It's a brewery in downtown Henderson. There is a nitro milk stout there. It's from Sin City Brewery, but Sin City Brewery is just a logo and label. Love Lady brews all their beer and then slaps Sin City on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
No, the dude behind the counter told me. He's like, yeah, we brew all their beer. So there isn't a separate... Sin City Brewery that they buy from, they brew all the beer for them, label it, ship it out. So if you drink a Sin City brew, it's being made by Love Lady.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Has it always been like that? And was Love Lady like always kind of on the DL, or did it come into like a purchase or a even just distribution situation where Love Lady
I'm wondering if the people that created or set up Love Lady didn't have a brew factory somewhere here in Vegas, and then finally say, we're going to open our own brew bar. I don't even know what you call it. Brewery. We're going to open our own brewery tasting area.
Do we need to do a brewery show?
No, but you know, I love beer, so.
So do I.
But no, I drink more coffee than I do beer.
Yeah, I do too.
So it makes more sense to coffee, but. No, there's cool
stuff
going
on. I'm going to do my own brew podcast, everybody.
But no, it was good. I would definitely go. I could see myself going back there.
Oh, 100%. Listen, beautiful shop.
Yeah.
Great coffee. I think the staff was awesome, to be honest with you. They were knowledgeable, friendly, they helpful.
Another Cubs fan walked in shortly after we did.
I saw him. He was having the sneezing attack next to us.
Yep.
Poor guy. I looked over and I saw he had the C logo hat.
Yep.
And you're wearing the throwback version with the bear.
Well, he was jealous. I could tell.
I was wondering if a conversation was going to spark, but no.
He saw my hat and looked away because he's like, yo, where'd you get that?
Look.
In his head. He wanted it.
Black, you know how like every time you go somewhere, black folks say like, hey, what's up? They know each other. It's kind of, there's an understanding. What's up? You guys had the same hat on.
It doesn't.
Both white. Where's the love, fam?
I don't know.
That's white privilege. You don't have to act like you know the person.
Nope.
Or you have a common ground.
Nope. That is true. The little head nod.
Always stirring controversy over here on Coffee Talkie, folks.
The other way we had, so we went through all the coffee we drank and everything, but there was something that came up in the news that was definitely coffee related this week. And I sent you over a link. But there is a...
I didn't read it, by the way, just so you know.
Okay, good. I'll talk about it now.
Okay, thank you. And I'll just give shitty commentary on it.
So in Vegas, obviously Nevada has been approved for legal recreational marijuana. Went live last year, July 1st. So anybody coming to Vegas can walk into a dispensary and buy weed. You don't need a medical
card.
Over the age of 21.
21, right. Okay.
I think is it 21?
I think so. Is it 18?
You know what? I don't know.
That's fine.
I don't know.
I'm so far along on the age scale, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Legally, it
doesn't affect me, so I don't know. So anyway, the next big craze that's going to hit Nevada and especially Las Vegas, because we are such a tourist area, the way the laws are set up right now, you can't consume the recreational marijuana you buy in public. You can't smoke at any of the hotels.
Does that stop people from doing it?
No.
100% no.
Walking up and down the strip like I was 2 or 3 weeks ago, you smell weed
everywhere.
Yeah. Every 20 steps you smell
garages. Weed.
Yeah.
Like they have like a default fragrance of weed now. And you know what? They always kind of did in Vegas anyways. But now the trend is way over the top. Yeah.
It's a lot. So, and I think one way that will curb that specific issue is they're trying to approve lounges, weed lounges, almost like your neighborhood bar. Now you're going to have a weed lounge. I'm assuming there's going to be a heavy bakery food aspect to it, but it's going to be a social meeting place where you can buy your recreational weed. Mm-hmm. You can either walk or Uber over to a lounge. I know all the dispensaries want there only to be approved to have a lounge on property. So you buy your marijuana, okay, you walk over next door and consume the product you just purchased.
It's kind of like down there on in Hughes Center, you have the Starbucks and FedEx that are kind of merged together.
100%. So in Colorado, I noticed that there is a coffee shop that opened right next to a dispensary in Colorado. And the name of the coffee spot is The Coffee Joint. It is...
Ooh, nice name.
Yeah. But very, very intuitive. It is the first coffee shop where you can legally consume the weed you just purchased. You can't smoke the flowers, but I believe you can do edible, you can vape, and you can do dab oil, which I figured the vape and the oil would still give off the smells, but at least it wouldn't be burning in the sense of burning like a joint or something.
So that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, like I've seen people do dabs. You know, I don't think I've ever seen anybody smoke a dab in person, but like on YouTube and stuff like that. Either. I've watched people.
Yeah.
Doesn't it give off quite a bit of smoke?
Sure. Looks like it. It's not, but maybe dab oil is vaped. I don't know. I got this right off of the article I was
like,
reading.
I feel like such a rookie that I can't define what the line in the sand is here between a dab, if you light up some dab oil versus if you were to smoke a joint per se.
Besides
the fact you're just not burning the physical plant itself, it's been reduced into an oil. Right. Is that what makes it?
But then it's like 98% THC.
I guess you're right. If it's a dab oil, that's what I'm failing to comprehend.
Yeah.
If it's a dab oil, then that's probably being vaped. as opposed to a dab, which is kind of the waxy ball that people burn down. That's what's real smoky.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking. It's dab oil, but it's vape.
And guys, this is coffee talkie, not THC talkie.
Neither.
I do not have the knowledge.
I'm not a pro.
But it does involve coffee.
So here's the crazy part is if you go next door to the dispensary and you purchase edibles or whatever your piece is, you walk right next door to the coffee shop, your first cup of coffee is free.
It's free if you buy from the shop, the dispensary.
Right.
A credit program.
If you show your receipt from the dispensary, you get to get into the coffee shop for free.
There is admission to get into the coffee shop.
$5. $5 includes one cup of coffee, or if you show your receipt, you get in for free. And you can consume everything right inside the store. But I can tell you, I know this coffee shop, kind of like how Mothership had all of their baked goods out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it'll be very similar setup. Like,
can you imagine?
So Vegas is looking to be like an Amsterdam.
I think so. Amsterdam of the West. I've heard that.
With just marijuana, with weed, that is, as opposed to other types of.
Right.
That's interesting.
The only weird thing is that Vegas doesn't really have, kind of like Austin 6th Street. If Vegas had something like that, but it was almost like the red light district where.
So the problem with Vegas that I think might slowly be changing, you know, I think we might have spoke about downtown at length in one of our, maybe in episode one. There was a divorce from downtown in the late 80s. I think it was 88 Treasure Island that was built first, or Mirage? Mirage.
It was Mirage.
So when Mirage opened, everybody in Vegas or tourists were like, psh, down Golden Nugget, what?
Yeah, pulled all the money.
Right? And Steve Wynn didn't care, obviously, because he's the one that put the Mirage up.
Right.
And he pulled the big hijinks and made it happen. And, but that being said, and having been to downtown just a little bit more over the past few weeks, there's some really good things going on downtown now.
Really?
Yeah. And I just think I'm seeing there's still a lot of places trying to open up restaurants. The coffee shop scene is beautiful down there. It's just a matter of how do you get the locals down there? And by locals, I don't mean the people that live downtown. That's obvious.
What they're going to do to get me to drive down there.
Yeah, it's the Green Valley people, the Summerlin people. And I have to be honest, living over here in Summerlin, I don't like the coffee shop scene very much.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Starbucks. There's no diversity there. I would love to be able to go to
There's a diverse mothership. Crowd downtown.
I'd love a Mothership or a Vesta, but we don't have that. There's a few independent shops, but they're just not.
Samba Latte is close.
Cut from the same cloth. Samba Latte, but it's not even in Summerlin proper, right? It's Summerlin adjacent.
Is that what they are those terms?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
So if you think about the Samba Lattes in Boca Park, that's not actually Summerlin within the actual boundaries of it.
So is that Vegas?
That is Vegas, or some people call it Queens Ridge.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, you know, that's just the interesting thing about it. Other than that, it's going to be, there's a lot of coffee beans and a lot of Starbucks inside the actual neighborhood proper. So downtown, in terms of diversity, is beautiful. There's kind of an open market type of feeling going on downtown with the bars, the restaurants, the coffee shops.
Yeah.
And that can be refreshing if you're tired of the same cookie cutter type stuff. You know what I mean? And Mothership falls right into that category, right? It's kind of this loner shop.
It's definitely not mainstream.
It's kind of a loner shop in terms of it being an independent shop, and it's on the edge of the city. It's in Henderson, but it's on the edge of Vegas per se.
Right.
You know, it's not really central center mass, which is where you see a lot of the other independent type shops doing big things. And I think that, Mothership, I would love to see them expand to other parts of Vegas, and I would love to see it happen without them losing their identity.
Right.
Being online and seeing a lot of these other types of shops, like a Stumptown, maybe, which is expanded and it's in a lot of cities, like in New York, and I think there's some in LA and things like that. They kind of keep that original style going on without becoming too much of a Starbucks or too much of a coffee bean. They're still putting out some really nice roasts. So I think it would be nice to see that, you know, maybe Mothership is the next Samba Latte out here.
Could be.
Maybe Vesta is the next Samba Latte out here. And by saying Samba Latte, I just mean there's 3-4 locations now for that, you know, franchise. And that's a local owned small shop that's done a pretty good job of keeping the identity they started with it without expanding too much into catering to a tourist or catering to being Starbucks Junior.
We were meeting at the Boca Samba Latte once a month for a while.
Well, gosh, I think it might even have been more than that. We'd be there for 4 hours drinking coffee and I'd get the coffee sweats every time. We'd go through 3-4 cups.
Yeah.
You know?
If you've never done it, definitely try the Siphon. That is one of the coolest.
Siphon, yeah, it's fun. There's a wow factor to it.
Yeah.
100%.
It was funny. The second time we had it, we're like, yeah, just do it behind the counter and bring it out.
It's kind of like when you're at a Mexican restaurant.
Right.
And they bring out the fajitas.
Or the guacamole. When they do the guacamole right in front of the table. It's like, I don't need to see you make guacamole. Just bring it out.
There's a wow / sales factor to that.
Yeah.
But then again, it's also a nice clean cup of coffee though.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I like that method.
The one thing, and I'm, you know, this is no dig against Mothership or anything, but I love Bulletproof coffees. They don't have a Bulletproof, I'm sure they know how. They definitely know how to make
Bulletproof. Yeah, it's not a secret.
They just don't offer Bulletproof.
So, you know, here's the interesting thing about Bulletproof is, say, I'm going to ask you real quick, where can you get a Bulletproof coffee at in Vegas?
The one place I go to all the time is Grouchy John's.
That's the thing, right? I think it really depends on that demand.
Yeah.
When I was in...
Grouchy's also has a drive-through. Mothership doesn't have a drive-through. It's a sit-down. It's true. A sit-down, relax, drink coffee spot.
And Starbucks also has a drive-through, but you can't get Bulletproof there.
I can't tell you the last time. It's been years since
I drove through. Yeah, same here. But, I mean, they're relevant, right? We have to talk about it.
They are coffee in the United States for the masses.
But like you go out to LA or probably a lot of the mountain towns where you have people that snowboard, ride bikes and things like that year round, you're going to see Bulletproof on the menu. And I think it's just a kind of a local culture thing.
I would just given the company, obviously episode 2 was all about that. I think it's probably big in Seattle, just given the name of the company is based out of Seattle.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I'm sure they've pushed that into a few places.
But
it's a great recipe. It's a great drink.
It is.
And it can be expanded on. It is. I was just text messaging with a buddy of mine. Him and his wife, they put collagen in their coffee. You know, and collagen's good for like, you know, healthy connective tissue, skin, hair.
Making lips bigger.
They don't inject it, fam.
They don't?
No.
Okay, good.
They mix it in. You can make a Bulletproof coffee with collagen. You can get the flavorless or you can get like a vanilla or a chocolate. I think there was a paleo site he linked me to, Primal Kitchen, I think, primalkitchen.com.
I think of collagen, I think of plastic surgery.
That's funny. When I think of collagen, I think of like a just gelatinous stuff. Like when you when you cook chicken and then like if you put it into the Tupperware and then you get that little like clear spongy gel at the bottom of the bowl. I think I could be wrong. Could just be fat. I thought fat floated to the top though. But anyways, that's what I think of with collagen. I think of Jell-O. It's kind of a Jell-O type thing because Jell-O is made from boiling horse and cow hides and hooves. Yeah. And that collagen is what makes it that Jell-O-y substance.
No idea.
They just put fruit flavor in there.
Maybe I watched too many episodes.
Too many of the Kardashians.
Was that show Nip Tuck? I loved that show when it was on.
I never watched that show.
But it was great. I recommend anybody, you know, likes drinking, you know, maybe not their home Folgers. If you want to go out and try some different coffees, I mean, definitely roll by Mothership. If you're in Henderson, I think it's a must try. If you're just 100%. Looking for, if it's you and a buddy, maybe you and the wife want to go out and have a pastry, croissant. I mean, they had all kinds of, what was the pillow? What was that thing called?
Ham pillow.
A ham and cheese pillow or a ham pillow?
It was just called ham pillow.
Yeah. It was almost like a croissant dough and they put ham and
I forget what they call it, but it kind of looked like what would be a, what is it I used to get? It has like the cream cheese.
Like a pastelito? Something like that.
Oh, I don't know that word.
Oh, they got those at the Cuban store.
But it looked like a cream cheese type. I can't remember what they called. Similar to a Danish, but the way they folded it and you could see the cheese coming out of the ends. That's kind of, I'm sorry. I'm mad I even brought it up because I don't know the name of it. But that's what it looked like. It looked delicious. It looked like pizza almost.
Yeah.
Like Canadian bacon pizza.
I'm gonna have to get one next time we go.
Pig in a blanket. Well, shit, man. I don't have anything else to say. Yeah, by the way, I am lit right now.
Yeah, I'm wide awake.
We didn't even brew anything here for the podcast. We just sipped on our little free cups.
Yeah, I got my Ethiopian. It's gone. Yours is your. They brew that one double too, so you know you're gonna be flying for a while.
Oh, is cold brew double strength?
Yep.
Bro, I was in the car like.
Yeah.
Foot on the gas, man.
You need to go run a marathon.
I need to get a gym membership again.
So, yeah. I got one. I just don't go.
Man.
Just like everybody else.
I quit Lifetime. Like 90%. I quit Lifetime and then I was like, I'm just going to get like a little down the street type joint membership.
That's what we did.
It's been a month and a half. I haven't even, it's almost like I'm relaxing for the first time in 28 years.
Maintaining.
I've been working out since I was nonstop since I was 15.
I can't say that.
And this is the longest break. The longest break I ever took before this was 2 weeks.
Oh wow!
I'm going on 2 months now not working out.
Yeah. It's good to switch.
I'm about to be wearing like skinny jeans. Skinny jeans, little. What are them little like? I need like I can go shopping like at Zara for men or whatever the hell they call that.
For
Armani Exchange.
Forever 45.
It's 44, you asshole. by the time I lose enough weight, I will be 40. It'll take me a full year.
There you go.
Oh, man. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining us again. I don't have anything. I mean, I could keep talking because I'm lit, but
right.
Nobody's going to keep listening.
You know, I do want to say if you want to follow us, if you like everything you're hearing, definitely give us a look on social media you can search for us. Just search for Coffee Talkie.
Yeah. Instagram and Twitter, Coffee Talkie. Facebook is The Coffee Talkie because we know how that game goes when you're trying to lock down your names.
Yeah. And somebody took it.
I probably should have tried to spell Talkie. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, should I have done like two E's at the end of Talkie to match Coffee?
I like the Y.
Yeah.
Somebody took the IE, so.
I do too.
Forget it.
It don't matter what it's called, bro. We're doing it bigger and better.
That's right. So, see you next episode.
Later.
Later.